Thank you very much for the opportunity to present my company today. I hope it's okay if I do it in English. My mother is from Sweden, but I have to say my Swedish is between horrible and non-existing, so I don't want to offend anyone. A little bit about myself. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Divio. I did my very first website in 1996, when Netscape was big. It was a bit of a different time then. And I had my first job as a web designer right after the dot-com bubble burst. It was a very special time then. And I worked then for different agencies, could work on as a designer and doing concepts for small and large websites, and also switched to the client side later on to a telecommunication company and can do the same thing on the other side as well. In 2006, I decided with a colleague of mine to start Divio as a web agency. And from very early on, within the first year where we did our company, we decided to switch from the back then very popular PHP programming language. This still is a very popular programming language for doing websites, to Python. And as you can see over here, this is a statistics from PyPL, a popularity index. It was not really popular programming language back then, but we really liked the readability of the programming language and its modern approach of doing things. So we decided to switch over to that. And with that, we also decided to use a so-called web framework. Web framework is basically a toolkit for developers that saves you time because it does things that you otherwise would do repeatedly very easily. So, and this was called Django, and this was very young back then. It was, I think, a year old when we switched to it. It was not even released as 1.0 version when we started using it. So it was all very, very early. This was also the reason why back at this time there was not really a content management system out there for these technologies to use. And since we are from Switzerland, and almost any website we do in Switzerland has more than one language, you usually end up needing a content management system to be able to manage the different contents in the different languages. So we created a tool for that, and we called it very creatively Django CMS. And we put that open source, and it was very successful from the get-go, and we started building projects with that. Over the next couple of years, Python stayed more or less at the same popularity level, grew a little bit, and we built bigger and bigger websites for our clients, could win bigger and bigger clients as well. And then it started to become a bit more popular, specifically also Django, the web framework, and first conferences started to pop up around Europe and around the world as well. So we went first to Berlin in 2010, then to Amsterdam in 2011, and in 2012, we were able to bring it to Zurich, our home city, and had there several hundred developers in our home city to talk about Django, Django CMS, and Python. And during this time and during those talks, we learned a lot about the needs of different people in this area. Specifically also when we then the first time went to the US to PyCon, the Python conference for the programming language, which is huge. It's several thousand developers coming each year. Also there we had a lot of very interesting talks and understood there's something now starting to grow in this area. What we heard from the people is that a lot of people would love to use Python and Django, specifically also web agencies, but it's not so easy for them to switch from their current system to a new system, mainly because it's not so easy to get Python and Django actually up and running to do web projects with it. You need to know what you're doing a bit, and usually as a web agency, you never have time to really spend time on that. You need to rely on existing software that you can use in a day-to-day manner. So what we learned is that they need to have a very easy way to make a local setup, so they can actually develop on their computers websites efficiently. And on the other side, so-called deployment, this is putting it on a server basically in a very abstract form. That was also not so easy for them to do. You need to learn a lot of things, you need to learn a lot of technology, so it was not really easy for them to apply it in a normal project for them. So, but we saw that as an opportunity. And during this time, we started playing around with some minimal viable products to see what would be interesting for our potential customers to use. We put that online, got feedback, got a lot of signups, but also realized quickly that it could not yet fully support the needs of the web agencies for a production-ready environment. So with the help also from Johannes and Eric, we were able to get an initial funding in 2014. And with this funding, we developed a production-ready platform for Python and Django. It's of course never finished with development, but in 2016, we came to the point where people could actually really use it for their projects, for also big projects, and so we saw there a change. And as you can see, also in the last year alone, Python is still getting more and more traction, gets more popular by the day. So what is a platform? This is not a platform. This is surprisingly how a lot of websites today still are run. You have your server, maybe it's a virtual server, you put your website on it, and then you hope everything went well, and your customers come to your website, and you hope that the website never goes down, because it's completely not redundant, and it's also not flexible if you want to have more power, because you have more customers visiting your website, you basically have to change your server. So what we built is a proper platform, and this looks more like this. So it's an abstraction of all the different layers that you need to run a modern website these days and to make sure that it runs securely and performant. I will give you, since this is will not tell you too much, I guess, I will show you some examples what it helps to have a platform like this. So first, you might heard of distributed denial of service attacks. This is when somebody thinks wants to play a bit of a fun game with your website and sends thousands and thousands of requests to your website until it goes down. This is not very nice. It's also not very hard to do, by the way. It's in today's world, you don't need to be a hacker or anything to do that. But with the previous setup you saw, your website would simply no longer work. We have as a first line of defense in our platform a so-called content delivery network that makes sure that even when you get thousands of requests at the time, your website will stay online. This is just the first line. But let's talk about a more positive scenario. Let's say your company lands on the New York Times front page and suddenly you get a lot of traffic to your website. You might not even be aware of it, but suddenly you have a lot of traffic and potential clients. So what we do in this case, we have a so-called load balancing system that takes all these requests and makes sure that it's distributed throughout our system, that none of the servers will overload or go down. And behind the scene, we have so-called instances. That's basically clones of your websites that we can very easily create multiples of it. So if you have one website, we can easily make 10 copies of it, so you have 10 times the power to serve the clients that visit your website. And behind the scene, we run everything on Amazon Web Services, on very performant database servers, and everything throughout is redundant, meaning if one system would go down, your website would still stay alive. One example for this was last year, we hosted a tipping game for one of the largest newspapers in Switzerland, and that's a typical scenario. It's not that you have an average high load. Usually people watch the football game during the 90 minutes, but after the game is over, everybody rushes to the website to see how they scored with their tips on the website. So you have, within a very short amount of time, a lot of requests coming in. And our platform just handles that automatically. The client didn't have to worry about anything. It just runs smoothly all the time. Another aspect is safety, in the sense of we have offsite backups of all the data, also fully automatically, so you don't have to worry about that either. And we have a so-called stateless infrastructure. That means this whole part we can tear down at any moment and rebuild it within minutes. And we do that every month just to make sure that this really works in the case if the platform would ever go down. So all of that you get out of the box with our system. It's secure, it's performant, and it's safe, and that's what the web agencies need to be sure that they don't get into an embarrassing situation with their clients, that their sites is down or is not performant. And performance is also very important for SEO. Google more and more gives value to how quickly you can bring the website to your customers, so it helps you getting up in the ranks of Google. This whole complex infrastructure, you don't, as a client, you don't have to worry about it. It's nice that it's there, we take care of it, but we created very easy to use tools for our clients to access this platform. So on the one side, we have a control panel where we can set up everything you need in the daily in your daily work routine, all with point and click. And if you want to deploy your changes, meaning putting it on a server, you simply click one button and we take care of the rest. That's all. So it's very, very simple. They don't have to learn anything new, but get a very, very professional system. On the other side, we have a desktop app. So this is for the developers who need to work on their local machine. We have a desktop app for Mac, Windows, and Linux. And also here, the same principle. If you want to set up your project on your laptop, for example, to start working on it, you click one button, the system takes care of the rest, and you can start working within a couple of minutes. So with those two things, we made it very easy for web agencies to actually switch from other technologies to Python Django. On the one side with the managed platform, and on the other side with easy to use tools. Our business model behind it is we are a software as a service, meaning we have subscriptions. We generate currently around 26,000 visitors every month. We pay zero for the ads. This is the traffic comes mainly through our open source projects, where we have a great community visiting our pages every month. We have great Google rankings, so we are number one for Python CMS, Django CMS, Django Enterprise CMS, and Python Enterprise CMS, and that helps us tremendously to get the kind of customers we need to our platform. We generate currently around 1,200 signups per month for the free account. And out of them, we focus mainly on web agencies. We, through lead qualifying, we get 50 around per month agencies out of it that we try to then convert to our partnership program. And these partners then sell for us self-service subscriptions. They start at around $9, or managed cloud system, they start at $49. Or even enterprise services, this is more service level agreements with guaranteed response times. That starts at several hundred dollars, can go up to several thousand dollars per month. This is not the only clients we have, but this is the focus we have currently on web agencies. So we have also just people trying out our platform, doing their own website, but we don't invest any sales into those leads at the moment. Since we were production ready, we see constant growth. We have roughly 20% month over month growth with our cloud platform in revenues. We have an average revenue per account of around $54. This is growing constantly because our clients do repurchases of new subscriptions all the time. We have roughly 2% monthly customer churn. This leads to a lifetime value currently of $2,500 per customer we can onboard, but this is also growing by the month. Currently, we have around 50 partners worldwide. We started with the program less than a year ago. So, of course, mainly in Europe currently, because there we have a lot of connections, but we see more and more demand also in the US. That's why we open on 1st of April, our New York office, with an account manager over there that he can follow up the leads in a more personal fashion. The Nordic countries are still quite black, so if you know anybody who's interested in becoming a partner, please let me know. We hope we can fill that with some blue dots as well in the future. But we also have parts, for example, in India or in Southern America as well. Our goal is that we can switch from project revenues that we currently have still to completely switch to cloud revenues, recurring revenues, and some consulting revenues. With that in mind, we want to get to $50 million in revenue to $20 million revenue within the next 4 years. That's an important number because a lot of reports like the Gartner Magic Quadrant, for example, that checks platforms like ours every year have certain requirements, for example, 50 million in revenue at least, to get into these reports. Once you are in these reports, a lot of big companies read those reports to decide which technology they should use in their companies. So that's our main goal, to get there as quickly as possible. There is, of course, competition in this market. It's a so-called web content management market. You can also look at it as a platform as a service market. I picked here out one that's Acquia. They're a PHP-based system. They have a similar history than we have. They created Drupal, which is also an open source content management system. And in 2008, they started their platform. And within 6 years, they grew it to over 100 million in revenue. There's other competition like Sitecore from they use .NET. Adobe has a big solution in the market. Automattic, they're the guys behind WordPress, also PHP based. And Pantheon is a platform that offers Drupal and WordPress also there to their customers. So these are some of the competitors. That there are some more. But there's currently no real competition in the Django market where we are in from the technology standpoint. The overall market is growing with a compound annual growth rate of 16.2% till 2021 to 8.25 billions. So also that's good for us, even though we currently get a lot of clients from people switching, for example, from PHP to a Python Django-based system. But of course, it helps us as well if the overall market is as well growing. Our board consists of Kimmo Bjørnsen. He's the co-founder and CFO of Mat.se, the food delivery website in Sweden. Armin Schmidt, he used to be director of expansion and strategy of eBay Europe. And then he was general manager of PayPal Austria and Switzerland. And currently he works at Six for mobile payment solutions there in Switzerland. As a long-term advisor, we have Christian Senker. He used to work at UBS Wealth Management and now currently works at Bellevue Group as head of wealth management. Our headquarters are in Zurich. As I mentioned before, we will open an office in New York. We have a local office in the UK, in Cardiff. We have a nearshoring solution in Ukraine, Kiev, and we plan to hire developers in Australia because this allows us to very easily cover 24/7 on the on-call services as well. Yeah, we're currently looking for 2 million Swiss francs. That's roughly, depending on the current exchange rate, 80 million Swedish crowns, and we're looking to raise that within the next 12 months. Mainly, we want to use this investment to invest in sales and marketing, because currently we're not able to fully leverage the leads we generate through the platform, because we simply don't have the resources to follow up on each of them. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Just one question to start off with. When you show this, the popularity of Python growing,
yep.
Do you see any risk that as Python grows as a language, that they will actually, all these web agencies, your customers, that they will simply leave the platform and hire their own Python developer to take care of this?
No, that actually would be great if they do that, because what we take care of is the so-called DevOps part. So that means that's a part where it's about maintaining the website, making sure that it's always running, offering 24/7 on-call services. And that's usually stuff developers and agency, I wouldn't say hate to do it, but they really don't like doing it. So that's more an outsourcing of that part. So we actually encourage web agencies to hire their own Python developers to actually develop custom applications for their projects they're building for their clients.
Okay. But also another question. Is it correct if I understand this as the Django Python version of WordPress?
Yeah, to a certain degree. So the difference is we have a content management system, but you don't need to use it on our platform. So we offer that as a feature. If your client needs a content management system, you can run that on our platform, but you can also run pure Python Django applications as well on the platform. So there's a difference to the WordPress platform, because there it's set that you will always have to use WordPress.
Okay. So do you see any risk? Because I know WordPress isn't totally free if you want to use it the way you want to, but it's more or less, it's pretty cheap.
There is a so-called VIP WordPress service. So if you want to use for enterprise, it's quite expensive, actually.
Okay. So, but do you see any risk of price pressure in order for you to reach these $20 million?
I mean, of course, there will be pressures due just to competition in the market. I think we have an advantage because we are a new player, so we don't have any overheads that the other competitors have that are in this market for a longer time. So I think there we have a certain advantage. And overall, it's about efficiency, and we built it up from the get-go to keep our headcount very low to be able to run this platform. So I think we can continue doing that and stay competitive.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the audience here? We have one over here in the front and another one over there.
I just wonder, you're trying to reach 20 million in turnover. What will be the cost for getting there? And what is the annual running cost of your exercise?
So we are aiming to get at this point to an EBIT of 25%. At this point. So the good thing about the setup we have, it's very cheap to run the whole system and scale it. The main cost we have is for marketing and sales. So the main part that we have to invest is in that. So the large part of the, in that case, 15 million at the end of the day will be spent on marketing and sales.
Okay, we had another one here.
Hello, you showed the peer there, Acquia or something, and you see the usage of PHP is going down.
Yep.
And
not the popularity.
Popularity is going down, and the popularity of Python is going up.
Yep.
Is that will that make you a potential acquisition target for them, or is that a consolidating market? I mean, in your market area, there's a lot of deals going on all the time.
And yeah. As like
when will you be bought?
That's a good question. I can of course not tell that, but there's a lot of example exactly like that. So because Acquia has the problem, I just want to jump to the competitor slide here. One example is Sidecore as well. They were also not bought, but basically bought by EQT, Swedish VC, I think. So the thing is, if Acquia would want to switch technology, it's actually not so easy for them because it's also a cultural thing. It's almost religious for developers to choose one or the other thing. So it will not be easy for them to change, but maybe that would be a strategy to buy into a competitor to protect themselves against that threat. So that's definitely a potential, though we don't have any requests yet from them.
Could your growth be like that, or?
Of course, with to be fair, they raised to this point, then here later on, additionally 50 to 80 million additionally. So it's costly to grow software as a service business because you have to pre-finance the growth. But yeah, there's nothing technology-wise or from the offering we offer that would prevent us to have a similar growth.
Thank you.
My own personal understanding and experience with this market is very limited, so you have to excuse me if my questions are stupid. But when you describe your product and show that these are placed on Amazon servers,
yep.
I was kind of, my first initial reaction was that I was a bit surprised that this wasn't already an Amazon product. How do you see your chances of being competitive, seeing 5 years out, seeing how Python is growing and Amazon not offering this today? Will you be competitive in 5 years in that?
Yeah, I think so, because we have more the approach of vertical integration, and AWS wants to offer a broad service range. So they want to be able to offer it for WordPress, for Python, Django, and so forth. So they will never be able to have such a tailor-made solution for one technology. It's simply not what they want. They want to have a broad approach. So I think that's why we push so much to be the Python Django expert, that people trust us to come to us if they want to do something with Python Django. That doesn't mean you could run it elsewhere. It's open source technology. But if you come to us, it's the most convenient way to run it.
Okay. Do we have any finishing questions from the audience? One over here.
Hello.
Hello.
I was thinking if you have any tools to be able to migrate from PHP to Python to your system.
Mentioned before, like we have currently a tool to migrate WordPress blog posts easily to our setup, because that's the most annoying part of migrating WordPress pages, because you might have hundreds of blog posts. You don't want to migrate them manually. And for the rest, we automate more and more of these steps, but currently do that manually, also with partners that we have in India, which is actually currently still more cost efficient than fully automating it.
Okay. With that, I suggest we thank Christian with an applause.
Thank you very much. Thank you.